So welcome to another All About Symbian podcast. I'm here at Symbian's Southwark HQ with Daniel Rubio, who is the Chief Architect of Symbian. Daniel, what does that actually mean?
What it means is that there's a lot of effort that has to be done to make sure that we maintain the integrity of this platform, that everybody, that all the contributors that are coming along will have to, will want to differentiate, and we need to make sure that we maintain that common base, and that whatever divergence happens out there, we have a mechanism to bring it back and to actually, maintain the integrity of the platform while allowing differentiation and allowing, growth.
And I believe you sort of have a vital role in taking some of the roadmap council features that they've decided on and actually implementing them into the real platform and making sure it happens in the correct way.
Correct. So I have the task to create a virtual team that is nourished with the system architects of the different members and the community itself as well, with the staff that we have on board for, as in the name of technology managers, to decide, how to actually best implement those. So, there has to be a vision. There is a vision already, and we need to, the architecture council, the architecture team, and the technology manager have the task to actually create that vision in an efficient way.
And similarly, with the UI council, in terms of the foundation setup, you've sort of got the oversight role or the veto role in terms of proposals coming out of the UI. And is that presumably to make sure it fits into the architecture, and, UI sometimes has some blue sky thinking?
Absolutely. And I think that architecture is not a loose, a very confined term. We're all intertwined. So, the UI has an architectural input as well. The architecture council is about, maintaining the integrity of that architecture, but it's all of us are architects to some extent. So I expect input from all the councils, the community, not limited to. So.
But you're actually the chairman of the architectural council. I'm just interested in some of the practicalities. I know you've had your first meeting and the first telephone conference. You're due to have your second meeting shortly. Now, what's been the experience in actually being the chair of the council, given that these are really the engines or at the heart of the foundation?
So I wasn't present for the. Unfortunately, I wasn't present for the first face-to-face. I've held the teleconference, a month ago, and we're going to have the first face-to-face now. The experience has been positive. I have seen a lot of collaboration. I haven't seen anybody holding back. Which is good. So I've had to really work hard to maintain consensus and to actually get parallel thinking going. So it has been very, very positive.
But going forward, consensus is obviously the way it's going to happen. Are you sort of planning for times at which there may not be consensus, given that some of the issues being decided are very fundamental to the platform's future?
Absolutely. And that's always been the case. In my previous life, I've always had to deal with confrontation and architectural issues, and with dealing with, how third parties envision something, how management envision something, how the engineers themselves envision something. When you have a team of 120 people, everybody has a different vision. So conflict and conflict resolution is something that I have done in the past, and that I'm quite looking forward to do the same here.
And in terms of the practicalities of attendance, you've got people coming in from all around the world, different backgrounds. Are you finding that's sort of creating almost a multicultural background that presumably is quite helpful for fostering the innovation and the ideas?
Absolutely, absolutely. And I have worked in the past for Asian-bound companies, and so I understand the culture very well. I think it's adding to the pot. So it is a melting pot of, technologies, personalities, and different business objectives. So I think it's going to actually be for the better of the foundation. And the more diversity there is, the better evolution we'll have. Absolutely.
But ultimately, when it comes down to it, it would be a majority vote. And it's important for people to realise that within the foundation, it's one company or one vote per seat on the council. So it won't be dominated by any one company.
Correct. That's right. We will have one vote. It will be a majority. And, once we have, obviously you have to have quorum in the meetings and so on. But it will be one vote.
And one of the things that the Architectural Council is also responsible is package ownership. And it's probably fair to say that the package ownership is going to be a key measure in terms of a metric of where looking at how successful the Symbian Foundation has been in getting contributions from other companies. At the moment, for obvious reasons, it's dominated by Nokia. Have you sort of got a an aim in your mind in terms of getting packages transferred over, and have you had any progress so far in that in terms of interest in people taking control of packages?
Absolutely. So the way to package owners are fundamental to the role of the foundation and to the success of the foundation. They are the guys that can harness the contributions of the community. They have to have personalities that actually reach out, and they have to seduce the community to actually make those contributions. In the power of the Architectural Council and the foundation itself, what we're trying to promote is contributions and people to stand up and to, you know, be able to deliver and to participate in those packages evolutions and so on. But ultimately, the package owner is the one that, if he's the most active package owner or the most active within that community, he's the one that's going to determine the path for that. And he will have to be challenged and out of that position, correct?
Yeah, no, that's very fair. And it's also, within the Architectural Council, where it's responsible for backwards compatibility, I believe, which
right.
is a, do you feel that remains a fundamental sort of thing you have to get right in an open platform?
Absolutely, and we've already taken steps towards that. So one of the things that you'll be able to see from today is you can browse in OpenGrok all the public APIs that we have. We will ensure to maintainability going forward. With each PDK, we'll issue that list, and you'll be able to see what are the changes. Those public APIs definitions reside in a Mercurial repository. You'll be able to check, whether something has changed or not. Given the fact that any public API changes has to go through an Architectural Council decision before it actually is changed.
What do you think are the key architectural challenges going forward?
The key architectural challenges, so it's making sure that I think the queue hasn't been voted yet, but there's a strong stream going along with it, and I think that it's going to be difficult to back out of it. It's making sure that we have a sleek and responsive UI. So we need to make sure that we don't actually pollute the memory, that we don't actually overcrowd the memory, and that we actually maintain a sleek memory operation, which is going to be fundamental for the performance. Graphical, hardware, graphic acceleration, that's fundamental. We need to have a story there. We have it already with Screenplay. We just need to make sure that it's utilized to the utmost level. And certainly LTE, the more bandwidth that comes into the phone, the more work there is for the OS. So we need to enable SMP.
So with the UI, we're talking about the top of the software stack, but going down to the other end in terms of the compatibility layers with hardware. One of the sort of purposes of the foundation, as separate from Symbian as it was, is to expand outside the sort of traditional phone areas, but also run on a greater degree of hardware. Is there a specific project you can talk about that's helping to progress that?
Sure. We are trying to produce as many assets that are common as possible, so that different hardware vendors or the entities that will perform the bring up of ROS onto different hardware don't have to spend a year developing assets up to the level in which we provide ours. So we will provide these APIs that silicon vendors and professional services company that provide the bring up will have to work to a lower, as low a level as possible, leaving it up to the foundation and the foundation members and contributors to deliver those common assets that normally consume a lot of time to develop. And that program is called SHI, which is a Symbian hardware abstraction interface. And that definition is going to be revised in the next Architecture Council. And hopefully we'll see contributions happening in Symbian 3 and Symbian 4, if not earlier.
So SHI is effectively a hardware abstraction layer. What are the actual implications for that in terms of integration costs and maybe the time it takes a device to get onto the market?
Well, the idea is to reduce the integration cost by having this, the asset base is quite large. It's about 6 million lines of code. That a large proportion of that is common to the different implementations on different hardware. If we can extract that and we can actually commonalize that and pre-productize and pre-integrate and it's already product quality, that's going to reduce that. If you look at it as a common base, it's going to reduce the common time that all the different hardware vendors take to actually productize into just once. And then you can reduce the time from normally takes about 8 months to maybe 3 months.
Wow, so it's a fairly significant reduction.
It is a very significant reduction, yes.
Because one of the challenges for Symbian hardware manufacturers has tended to be relatively high integration costs, and you know, maybe it takes a couple of years to build up the necessary experience. Presumably this sort of shy will dramatically reduce that and make it much easier for people to do off-the-shelf builds of Symbian Foundation phones and devices.
Correct, but I think we have to qualify that, because I think that there's a perception out there that Symbian is highly, you know, difficult to integrate and to bring up and to realize. I think all the platforms suffer from that. It's just, you know, how easy it is to do a vertical integration that takes you all the way to the home screen, and you can show, you know, basic operation. It's when you have to bring in telephony, when you have to bring in multimedia, that you really are testing how well architecture system is and how difficult it is to bring it up. So I still challenge anybody to tell me how quickly it is to do that on some of the other OSs that are floating around out there. Yeah. And I bet that the difference in time is not that significant.
Yeah, because the complexity of these devices are only increasing, and so this actually becomes more necessary, not less necessary.
Correct.
So in practical terms, what that means is for consumers is that we can expect to see Symbian Foundation running on a greater variety of hardware, and that's things like processors and the brand names there and radio stacks, things like that. But presumably this enables it to be much easier to have Symbian Foundation on a device that comes outside the phone space, be it appliance-type device or the netbooks. And again, that's sort of expanding the role of the foundation by moving sort of Symbian OS to the more traditional platform approach.
Absolutely. I think that you'll see that we have no bias towards any particular consumer device. We're open to support anything that comes along, so long as actually it doesn't derail the plans of the you know, the overall plans of the foundation. But you know, we're open to suggestions from and to contributions and to see projects spawning on any kind of hardware. Certainly the we're not constrained by having to have a modem. So you know, MIT devices and appliances are, you know, a very interesting arena to start playing on. And I'm looking forward to having, you know, some interesting projects in that area.
And with the Symbian Foundation's open source model, are you at all concerned that sort of some of the silicon vendors may demonstrate some reluctance to sort of do some of the pre-integration that has been traditionally done for multiple platforms because of these the IP issues involved within doing open source? You know, previously we've seen maybe the big OEMs pay for that integration themselves, and now it seems to be moving to a model where the silicon vendors are expected to do more. Or do you think that's something that's, you know, just because the silicon area is becoming more competitive, there's now multiple solutions for these complex things? Looking ahead, we see reference platforms from both companies like S&P as well as Texas Instruments.
I think that that when we look at the actual integration on different hardware, there will always be some innovative areas where, you know, we will not be able to produce open source code because it's so inherent to the actual device itself that it will expose too much of the IP of the silicon manufacturer that to make it impractical. However, we are prepared to accept areas where, you know, we don't actually have the open source availability, but I don't see it as a hindrance. That there will always be that, and furthermore, there will always be a need for differentiation, which may come in form of, you know, UI, or it may come in form of, you know, hardware support. So,
and presumably with Shy, one of the advantages is that you'll effectively have, you know, a clearly defined standard API that the silicon vendors can develop to, and so their products are ready from the get-go. And I mean, that ties in with the reference platforms, which I guess is also falls under the responsibility of the Architecture Council. We've, I think, seen the Texas Instruments Zoom 3 as the first Symbian Foundation reference device, and presume Zoom 2, I understand. And I assume we'll see more of that, given that that's so helpful towards developers and, of course, OEMs themselves as well.
Correct. I think that you can't really say that you are a platform until you are tested on a piece of hardware. But, however, I'd encourage to have several reference platforms. It's, you know, the delivery team within the foundation obviously is not geared up towards supporting more than one because it's just a matter of, you know, resources, scalability. However, there's nothing stopping anybody from taking our PDK and, you know, our deliveries and just testing that on any piece of hardware and just providing feedback. And then by that means, you know, by harnessing the community and doing a distributed evaluation or, you know, smoke test of our deliveries, we will have several hardware platforms. Shai is going to help there because it's going to remove a lot of the burden to traditional silicon vendors who are just silicon vendors and they don't necessarily need to be software vendors. So we will specify it so that they have to do just the minimal effort to get their hardware into the platform.
So presumably as the chief architect, you'll be pleased to see people playing with other people's hardware and getting the Symbian Foundation running on it, just as we see with something like Android or Windows Mobile.
Correct. I'd be happy to see Windows booting on a G1 or a ADP1 as it is. Yes.
There we go. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate you taking the time to talk to us.
Thank you very much.